Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
I learned about one person who supposedly made this statement regarding the church and why he was not a member of the church. He said, "I have never found a perfect church, therefore I'm not a Christian." His friend replied, "When you find that perfect church, don't join it." Do you see the point? If he did join it, it would not be perfect anymore. He would spoil it. Well, probably every congregation of worshipers has its good points and its bad points. Probably the membership would be able to list them. Which side is longer? I don't know. We hope the good points outweigh the bad points. Now, the reason there's this difference is very simple. The members are all human beings, and all human beings have some good points and some bad points. Even people who are Christians have a few bad points. In every human organization, there is need for ideals, a challenge for improvement. That is true in the church. So in 1 Corinthians 14, 34-40, I affirm that Paul sets forth the ideal church. I hope you will be with me now and follow me as I read. Have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 14, 34-40, and here is the Word of God. "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. The ideal church, according to the Apostle Paul, will have several distinguishing marks so it can be recognized. The first distinguishing mark is the place of women in the church. Paul makes a sharp statement there. He says the women are to keep silence in the church. Their presence is there, but they are to have a low profile, we say. Earlier in his letter, the apostle taught how women may pray or prophesy. That was not limited to the home. It seemed also to be applicable to the church. They ought not pray or prophesy with unveiled heads. Here, under these circumstances, which he is addressing in 1 Corinthians 14, they are to keep silence. A little reflection may help us to understand why he said that. It may be that their emotional psychological constitution formed that basic reason. Women are more emotional than men and often go to extremes. In the midst of the condition described in verse 26, they might be inclined to extremes. Let me read that for you. That's verse 26. Quote, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation." Under those kind of circumstances, I am suggesting, they might have been inclined to be quite emotional. So the Apostle Paul instructs them to have their personal relationship with their husbands. This assumes, of course, that the husband is head of the home, and he should be. Too often he is not, but he should be. During my revival and evangelistic services years ago, I often preached a sermon on rearing the family. I based my message on Deuteronomy 6, 4-25. I want to read verses 4-7 for you. Stay with me. "Here now are the words of Moses to the children of Israel before they entered the promised land. Listen to them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I went on to the rest of the chapter, all 25 verses, and as I concluded my message, I asked fathers to commit themselves to conduct family worship daily, to create the family altar. As I remember, there was only one congregation where I had 100% participation or commitment. Now, friend, don't argue with me. I'm only explaining what the Apostle Paul said. The first distinguishing mark of the ideal church is the place of women in the church. The second distinguishing mark is the grace of leadership in the church, as that's where the message of truth has come from. The Apostle Paul made a rather striking statement when he asked them, "Did the message come from you, or did it come out from you?" So remember, the message did not come from the congregation. Why, no, of course not. The message came from God. We have the revelation from God. Every congregation must recognize that fact. There is a word from God. We have the book from God. Yes, amen. And then the leader must have a certain amount of discipline. You see, the Apostle Paul was raising that question. He said, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." That is verse 37. Affirm the writings of the apostle as the commandments of the Lord. I want to point out to you, my friend, that inspiration, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in writing the Scripture, ceased when John the Apostle wrote the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. It has been stated that "thus saith the Lord" occurs well over 3,500 times in the Bible. Therefore, we have the word from God. Paul claimed special authority for his writings. He says he writes with the commandments of the Lord. Therefore, no one has authority to modify what he wrote. I had a friend of mine some years ago ask me this question. "Don't you think if Paul were living today, he would write differently than he did in the first century?" I said, "No. No, I don't believe so." You see, the whole point is this. If that is true, then we don't have a Bible. We don't have a word from God. We don't have an eternal, universal word from God, my friend. So I take it that what the apostle wrote is, as he said, the commandments of the Lord. Therefore, I urge that no one has a right to modify what has been written. The second distinguishing mark, then, is the grace of the leaders in the church. The third distinguishing mark is the base of order in the church. The apostle says, "Cultivate balance. Covet to prophesy. Be zealous. Desire earnestly to prophesy." I was checking on that word covet. It really means to be very zealous, to be in earnest to prophesy. Prophesying edifies the church. It is the more desirable service because people are instructed, encouraged, discipled, and helped to walk in the ways of divine truth. Well, then the apostle says, "Covet to prophesy, but do not forbid to speak in tongues." Of course, this has been qualified by the directions the apostle gave with respect to speaking in tongues. In other words, if no translator is there, then there should be no expression in public. Let that person who speaks in tongues speak to himself. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. A translator is needed in the assembly. He concludes this chapter by urging his readers to maintain propriety, that all things be done decently and in order. To be in the presence of God, the God of the universe and eternity, demands decency and orderliness. I sometimes am greatly distressed in spirit when I see how some people come into the presence of God. Some people come to the worship, the house of God, looking like a slouch. We ought to have more sense than that. We ought to realize we're coming into the presence of the Holy God.
Oh, yes. He accepts us like we are, but, my friend, he wants to make us like we ought to be.
That's right.
Oh, my friend, the ideal church will have a base of order. So the third distinguishing mark is the base of order in the church. Let me review for you now these distinguishing marks of the ideal church, how you can recognize when you see it. You will recognize the ideal church by the place of women in the church. You will recognize the ideal church by the grace of the leaders in the church. You will recognize the ideal church by the base of order in the church. To this attainment, we should all strive. Join me in prayer. O Heavenly Father, mighty God, sovereign Lord, we recognize Thee, O God, as the one who knows the end from the beginning, and nothing is hid from Thy sight. So, Father, as I have tried to teach these words from the Apostle Paul, impress them on the heart. Father, if my friend is a member of the church, help him to realize that these are the distinguishing marks of the ideal church. I lay to heart Paul's teaching. I hope my friend may also lay to heart Paul's teaching and preaching. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for that clear instruction from the Bible. My friend, do you see what a difference it would make in the church, the body of Christ, if we followed God's plan? We could save ourselves a lot of trouble if we'd only do it God's way. We often worry too much about what those outside the church will think or say about us if we obey God's commands. We do well to remember Jesus' words when he said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." Friend, I'd like to send you the printed text of this message. That way, you can take time to read it carefully and meditate on its truth. If questions arise in your mind as you study, you can write to us with those questions. We'd be glad to answer them from the Bible. That way, we can learn together how to be better followers of Jesus. So I urge you to write and ask for a copy of today's message. When you request today's message, you'll receive all the other messages in this series of study in 1 Corinthians. They're all contained in Dr. Yoder's book, Glory in the Lord, and I'm sure you'll find them helpful. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and request a copy of Dr. Yoder's book, Glory in the Lord. And when you write, if you have a question about the Bible or how to live as a Christian, we'd be happy to answer those questions. I want to assure you, the answers we give will not be our opinions, but answers from the Word of God. After all, that is the standard by which we'll all be judged someday. Let me give you our mailing address again. It's Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. And I hope you'll join me next week for a special message in commemoration of Easter. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.